Hey guys, it's time for the next Pittsburgh podcast. I believe this is number 6. Today is Wednesday, June 15th. Just had another batch of books come out today. This is also going to be my last one for a little bit as I am going on vacation. So supposedly Matt's going to do this next week, so it's not my fault. Not going to go as in-depth today as we did last week, where last week we went over all the new DC announcements. We're not going to do anything quite that complicated. I figured we'd just basically talk a little bit about Fear Itself being the big Marvel event and Flashpoint, the big DC event. And then just kind of go around the group and talk about, you know, what's something that we've really enjoyed or something we're really looking forward to that's either come out or something even just a little bit older. Maybe you dug back onto the bookshelf and found something that you really liked. That's what I'm going to do. And then the other thing is I thought it would be fun to go around the circle here and see what got everybody started collecting, because it's always different stories, different books, different things, and it lets me know more about the people. You know, somebody started reading because of one certain writer or certain story, so I can, you know, tailor things a little better to them. So we'll go around, we'll do the introductions again. This is Colin McMahon.
Sugar Shane.
Ryan Sargent.
Sean Sisson.
Adam Russell.
Matt Lou.
Okay, that's it. We got 6 and no callers in today, so sadly. So I guess the first thing on my list is Fear Itself. We've had a little while to digest what happened in Fear Itself number 3, and we've had some tie-ins, and just kind of wondering what does everybody think. We're 3 issues in, there's 3 out of 7 we're through, and what does everybody think about it? Sean, you always have a comment on this.
No, actually, I don't have much of a comment, being that I have not been reading it.
Oh, that's right. You bailed early on it.
I'm out of knowing exactly what's going on at this point.
Okay, fair enough. You've been reading it?
Yeah, okay. I just really don't think it's going anywhere. I don't know. I just haven't seen the story yet anywhere. I mean, we keep seeing things happen, but nothing's actually really happening, I don't think, so...
No, I agree.
I'm waiting, so.
Yeah, that's been my biggest problem is they just, now I guess, you know, the death of Bucky at the last issue, at the end of the last issue, you know, is a major event. It didn't feel, felt forced. It didn't feel like necessary. My biggest gripe about the last issue was you have huge threat to Washington, D.C., and who do they send? They send Bucky, Falcon, and the Black Widow. Not exactly your super powerful team they can send to take on giant Nazi robots with Gatling guns, where you think someone like Ms. Marvel could have taken them out real easy. So it just didn't, it wasn't natural. My other problem, I was talking, I don't know if it was with you, Sean, but I was talking with some people here earlier today, saying just how continuity isn't working anymore in Marvel. That used to be their one real big thing, was that what happened in one book affected the other, and here we have a case where in Captain America, Bucky's still in a gulag in Russia after the big events of the trial and everything that happened during Brubaker's run, and it's just kind of all thrown away before it even ended. So I'm sure I'm going to have people say, well, I'm not going to pick up the last couple issues of Cap because what do they matter? And that is a big problem with the comics nowadays, just in general, with so many books. I have people asking me, does this book matter? Which one, you know, which Wolverine should I read? Which one matters? And I look at another problem, just, and it's interesting because it's the same writer, but The Mighty Thor came out, and I enjoyed the first 2 issues, but it's obviously post Fear Itself. You know, it can't be taking place at the same time. So it's one of those, you know, everything's going to be okay with Fear Itself. Nothing's really going to happen to Thor because we know what happens after. Same thing with Captain America. In my last podcast, when I was going over the Marvel solicits, Fear Itself 5 says it's the most dramatic thing that's ever happened to Captain America, you know, something horrible. And then, but in the same thing, we're waiting for the new Captain America series starring the same character, so we know nothing's going to really happen. And that's another reason I like DC, at least with the relaunch, is we don't know anything that's coming down the pike. Everything's kind of fresh, everything's new. But there I go again, defending DC and blaming Marvel.
No, I actually agree with you there. On the other hand, though, it's sort of knowing the relaunch and seeing the September solicits and what books are going to be there, and it looks like some of them, like Batman, doesn't really change that much other than creative teams changing. it sort of makes Flashpoint kind of useless.
Well, no, I don't think so, because I think there are going to be some changes from Flashpoint. Some things, some of the changes, like there's, it looks like Superman's being completely redone. Or not completely redone, but it looks like Morrison has something planned. I think the text was something along the lines, America, the world doesn't trust its first superhero.
Yeah.
So, Batman, I mean, it's the same creative teams, but we don't, I mean, I think the solicits were pretty generic, you know, Batman fighting, you know, some bad guy, which every issue with Batman is that. So I think there will be some repercussions. I think that was a big reason why they did this. So
plus, Batman's a franchise is doing really well right now, whereas Superman has been awful for 2 years, except for like 6 issues of Action Comics
that he wasn't in.
That he wasn't in, right? Paul Cornell, when he did Luther, was awesome.
But it seems a lot of the changes that they're making with the relaunch, they could have done without the relaunch.
Yeah, well, some of it's interesting. Like, Wonder Girl coming back, they're saying she's a super-powered thief, which makes me kind of think that she's going to be a holdover from the Flashpoint universe, or timeline, or whatever it is.
Yeah. I think we'll see a lot of that. A lot of bits and pieces. Not major, but bits and pieces.
The Marvel did back with the Age of Apocalypse.
Right, where they brought a couple characters.
Came in. But I guess I would have liked to have them waited on the solicits for September, at least until further in to Flashpoint.
Well, I mean, we're going to get the new previews in 2 weeks anyway, and typically the stuff gets out online. And I think the reason they announced it earlier that they did is it was leaked, and Rich, I guess, Bleeding Cool had all the information. So it was a case of they wanted to be ahead of it. Yeah, it was probably a little earlier than they wanted to do it, but they still, you know, that's the problem when you have to have the stuff out there 3 months ahead of time.
Right.
They're limited by that, and this is such a big thing, they couldn't, you know, oh, by the way, next month, oh, you know, you thought you were ordering Superman 714, well, actually, it's going to be a new number one. But I think this is also going to help a lot of these smaller books that, if they had just, in the course of a random month, introduced a new Mr. Terrific, would have sold, you know, 10,000 copies, where at least this way it's getting a shot. Right. Like I said, I'm going to do a thing to get as many books in people's hands as they can to let you make a choice. You know, I'm going to do my best to get you to at least read the book. You know, gosh, this was good, or gosh, that was crap. You're not going to pick up number two. That's going to happen. They can't all be winners. They can't all be things that you're interested in.
When do we declare this a success, right? Because first month sales mean absolutely
I'm going to say
you're wait at least 6 months.
Yeah, at least 6 months. And at the six-month point, if Superman isn't selling above where it was, then it's a failure.
Or how many books get canceled?
No, because I think they really, they know all 52 aren't going to survive. There's no way that can happen. There's going to be missteps. Things are going to happen. I'm sure there's a percentage that they're expecting to fail, and that they're already working on. I think this is part of the thing where some of these artists, you know, they're saying James Robinson doesn't have anything. Well, he might be working on, you know, the summer replacement or the, you know, things like that. They have to have different things in the pipeline.
I think they're almost leaving themselves open to, if this doesn't work the way they wanted it to, that they can just go backwards.
Well, I don't know if they're making enough changes to need to go backwards. Like, where would you take Superman back to? Would there be a need, or do you just bring in a new team and continue on with a Superman story? Because a Superman story should just be a Superman story.
Right, but if they do change him to, you know, where people fear him and this and that,
yeah,
they could just take it back to, oh, you know, he's everybody's hero again.
Yeah.
They're leaving themselves that option.
Sure. Well, they don't want, I mean,
They're not selling themselves in on you know, this post-Flashpoint stuff has to stay exactly the way it is.
Right, and that's why I don't think they're going to completely revamp every character like people are worried about, because then that puts them in a corner. If it doesn't work, you know, if they try, you know, the new universe, and it doesn't work, they're in trouble. But I think for the most part, a lot of it's going to stay the same. It's just, you know, Green Lantern is just going to be the continuation of that story. Yeah. It's just everybody starting with a new number one, things like that. So I think a lot of the fear people have shouldn't be there, but I think there is going to be enough that's going to be fresh and new to bring new people in.
I think it's a good starting point. I mean, for somebody who doesn't read, I'm a Marvel person anyways, and then all of a sudden now I can try this and go from there. So I think it gives me a chance to, you know, go from there. So I'm all for it. Just to give it a try.
I think one big thing going in DC's favor right now, and I know I've talked to Colin about this online a little bit, looking at the September solicits for Marvel, Oh my god, do they all look terrible.
Well, they all look the same as October's, right? They all look pretty...
No, I mean, they look pretty bleak. There doesn't seem to be anything exciting going on with them.
I'm not a big Marvel guy, I'm more DC, but I sort of looking at both Fence for Yourself and Flashpoint as sort of both companies trying to get their ducks in a row for their like summer movies and trying to get all these new, fresh audiences they keep talking about coming in. Where DC has this huge approach of not throw everything out the window, but sort of present in a way that is completely new. You don't have to know 30, you know, 40 years of backstory. Whereas I figured Steve Rogers would go back to being Captain America. I don't, like I said, I don't read Marvel a lot, but I catch up on, you know, kind of big points. But I didn't really expect them to do that to Bucky either. I mean, he's been such a popular character in the past couple of years. I didn't really expect him to sort of, like, I saw the clip, I thought it was kind of a gruesome death, especially for Bucky.
I was reading, actually, on that same point about Bucky and Cap, you know, Steve Rogers going back to Cap. I was reading an article online today, and I can't remember what site it was on exactly, but that's one of the things they said was, you know, you look at Marvel and DC, and DC has all these legacy characters, and, you know, there's so many different Flashes, and Marvel doesn't really do that. For one character, like for Steve Rogers to come back to Cap, they, like, kill off Bucky. They don't do a good job of keeping more than one character, you know, going. More than one person as a character.
But I kind of like that. Like, when I got back into reading, like, I was so confused because, like, who's the Flash? Is it Barry Allen? Is it Wally West? Is it Jay Garrett? Is it, who else has it been?
Bart,
right? Yeah, like, who is it? Whereas Captain America is Captain America. There's one of them. There's not, you know, well, unless you're reading that Captain America Corps that came out today. But
oh, thank you.
But I like the fact that, you know, you can pick up Iron Man after not reading for 20 years and it's still Tony Stark.
Yeah.
And there's not a whole army of Iron Men. Like, you don't have, like, the Iron Man family reunion like they did with The Flash.
I think DC sort of took that approach with their reboot with Batman Inc. I love Batman Inc., but I can see how new people coming in for someone to say, well, what Batman book should I read? And everyone says, well, the top Batman book is Batman Inc., so there's 30 Batman, each one in a different country, they're all Batman. And, you know, the new reader just kind of look at you with this weird look and just walk away.
Well, they're not all named Batman, right? But, they're just allowed to use the logo. I mean, it's kind of like a franchising opportunity, right?
Like, right, yeah. So, I mean, like, Cassandra Cain used to be Batgirl, now she's Black Bat. And the only two that still call themselves Batman were Bruce and Dick, but with Flashpoint ending, they're reverting Dick back to being Nightwing. So I'm wondering if maybe that was part of Morrison's plan, or if that was something that DC said, maybe we should make this simpler, instead of having two Batman, just have one.
For some reason, I don't see that as being part of Morrison's plan.
I don't either. It seems
kind of abrupt.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, just end that. Because a lot of people, just like Cap and Bucky, or Bucky as Cap, it's just... People have liked it. I've heard people say that. I don't know. But I was for it, you know. It seems abrupt.
I'm happy for Steve Rogers coming back as Cap. I've always liked the character of Steve Rogers. But I had no problem with Bucky being Cap either.
I really enjoyed it. Yeah, I thought the best Captain America, part of the Brubaker's Captain America, was when he was dead and nobody was Cap. It was, you know, Falcon and Black Widow and Bucky kind of running around as...
Yeah.
You know, in that whole 6-8 issues when there was no Captain America, I thought that was great.
Yeah, I did too. I think Brubaker's done a good job on Cap of keeping everything logically moving along.
Right.
Except for the time bullet thing, which was kind of... Or the,
Captain America Reborn. Yeah,
that was kind of out there. But the rest of it has moved along pretty naturally.
Yeah, and you could tell he had a vision for where Cap should go. I mean... Through the whole Winter Soldier, Red Menace, you know, Death of Cap, Bucky. I mean, it's been kind of obvious, and from what I read online, he was planning Bucky's death. It was just kind of let's put it in Flashpoint so it has a bigger audience, put it in Fear Itself so it has a bigger, you know, audience to see him die. But I don't think that was against Brubaker's wishes.
I can see that.
So, what Flashpoint tie-in do you guys like the most?
Emperor Aquaman.
Yeah.
That's.
Wait till you read Wonder Woman.
Oh, yeah? I liked Emperor Aquaman a lot. I also read Citizen Cold. I like Citizen Cold. A lot of people online I read didn't care for it that much, but I really like Captain Cold. But I don't all that for Aquaman. I like Aquaman as sort of this nice guy that lives under the sea and talks to fish, but I also like him. Like, they kind of made him almost like Namor.
Yeah.
Which I like. You know, he's taking no prisoners. He doesn't care what happens. It's this whole beef between him and Wonder Woman and, you know, who's going to win that war. And I like that. I want to see how that story plays out.
I've actually not even enjoyed Aquaman at all until this, because it's just a different type of Aquaman. Even though he is very similar, as you said, like, to Namor.
Right.
I don't know. It's just a different take on his character. And I just... And then this, well, as you were saying, Wonder...
yeah, read one, if you're liking if you're liking the Aquaman story, definitely read Wonder Woman.
Yeah, Wonder Woman. Because it adds into the whole, the other part of the story.
Right.
So.
It explains the war, the reason for the war, and it's not quite what you'd expect.
I actually, when I got here, I happened to pick it up to look through it, because it's one of the... It's one of the ones that sort of interests me. And it has been the closest I have gotten to actually buying some of Flashpoint.
Oh, see? But it's been good. Grot of War this week was really good. It's a one-shot, but I don't want to say it's open-ended, but the way it ends, there's going to be more Grodd, just probably in the main Flashpoint book. Let's see. Legion of Doom was interesting. Basically following Heatwave in prison. The Dead Man and the Graysons was outstanding, and definitely... It's going to be important. There's a special guest star at the end. That was good. But yeah, overall, I'd say Flashpoint, the books have sold way above even my wildest expectations. I just ordered them to get the pins, because I know you guys like free stuff. And it's fun. It's funny. Everybody's like, oh, pins, whatever. But nobody's expecting them. But after they get the books, I reach over, I grab the pins that they're getting, and everybody's like, oh, cool. And it's, you know, what are they going to do with them? I don't know, but it's one of those little things that DC does that's cool. Those rings were huge during Blackest Night, just huge. And these pins are just as exciting, but, you know, it's a pin, whatever, but they're really cool. And people
it's
really
something
love
to give back. You know, you're buying the comic, you get something, even as small as it is, that, you know, out for it, so. Mm-hmm. And you get a good story, too. So.
Yeah, the story's been really good.
I was actually a fan of the Deathstroke one.
Yep.
Because that's pretty cool. You know, he's a pirate. He's looting Paris and the museums. He got his ship named Ravager instead of his kid. That's pretty damn cool.
Yeah, I thought that was the one I was most surprised that I liked. You know, Batman obviously was great, but Deathstroke was one I was on the... I was like,
Mr. Matt, I'm not going to... I don't want any of this Flashpoint crap.
But, you know, I'm thinking Deathstroke, pirate story, like, this is going to be a hoy matey, and he's going to have a peg leg or whatever.
He does have a patch, but he has always had a patch.
Yeah, and I thought it was one of the better ones I read. I liked the Warlord appearance.
Yeah.
I thought that was cool.
Yeah.
The only reason I really didn't pick it up was... just because I didn't know how much it actually dealt with the main story. Like, the rest of them kind of tie in.
This one seems a little more... Well, they keep saying there's something, like, he's going to find out something. So who knows? I don't think any of them are really tied in. Well, there's the Aquaman, yeah, killing him at the end. Or at least running him through with the trident.
That was teased in Flashpoint 2.
Right, and it was kind of neat how that wrapped into right to the end, and you got to the same point from the other... perspective, so I thought that was pretty cool. But overall, I say they've really knocked this out of the park with these.
And another one that I, besides Aquaman, was Batman, because, I mean, it's been so far away since we, long ago.
Yeah, see, yeah, all 3 weeks ago.
All
oh my
it.
Gosh, yeah.
But,
well, Tandai sold out, so you can't, have a visual clue.
We have no visual.
And the neat thing with that one is I ordered it the same as Batman, the regular Batman book. And at 10 copies less than Flashpoint, and I sold out. And I sold out both issues of Flashpoint, other than the variants, and I did get second prints of Flashpoint 1 in today, but I think I may have sold through those as well. And it's funny, I was looking at some point today, I looked at the number somebody asked me, and I sold the exact same number of Flashpoint 1 and Fear Itself 2. I got into a little discussion on the Bleeding Cool forums about it, because a guy was saying how retailers are stupid. How could we possibly not order Flashpoint number one more than Fear Itself 2? And I kind of got into it a little bit with him saying, well, let's see, gosh, Fear Itself is a line-wide story tying in with almost every book Marvel puts out. It's based around Cap and Thor, who both had movies out this summer, and we had the numbers for issue one to base our orders on. Flashpoint was billed as a Flash miniseries, not tying in with any books, and it was going to be basically like an Age of Apocalypse, other reality book, you know, Elseworld title. So I'm like, Why would we order more of that than the other? And the guy's answer was, well, it's obviously it's Geoff Johns, and you know he sells great. I'm like, well, yeah, but how about if I, what if I ordered this based on Flash Rebirth, his last big Flash event? And I said, I based my order on that. And he's like, well, you're stupid. I'm like, kind of threw up my hands, and everybody else kind of chimed in saying, yeah, you're stupid. So that was good. But yeah, it just totally. Fear itself, I did sell out of issue two. Issue three, really, people have given up on, like Sean. Big drop, but so far no drop on Flashpoint. Selling through, probably this week, I will sell out of most of the minis. I'll get more in, don't worry. But just, I've been thrilled with the sales, and I'm thrilled with the story. I'm excited. I'm sad next week I'm going to miss the books. They will be waiting for
somebody,
me unless I sell out. Then I'll be
paying. Somebody call and read up to you.
No. I'm going to bring enough to read.
Then. FedEx to you?
No. I'll be good.
You'll have to imagine the picture.
I will.
Ross's sword.
Sure. Oh, that'd be cool. I like that. Oh, that's going to be a new service I can offer. No.
Hopefully, it won't go the way of motion.
Fear itself is really disappointing me. The first two issues, it just.
Not enough has happened that they promised.
I'm a huge Thor fan and a huge Cap fan. You know, they're two of my favorite characters, and the only part of it I really liked was the prologue written by Brubaker.
Right.
As soon as it got into the actual mini, it was.
I think it's typical Marvel mini event series, right? Mini, it's a lot of build up with very little payoff or very quick payoff.
Yeah, that has become the norm for Marvel's big events.
Yeah, my concern with this one is they've made the big bads. You'll see when you read this week's Iron Man and Avengers, but they build the Worthy up as so powerful that Iron Man can't stop Grey Gargoyle, Red Hulk can't stop the Thing, and it's one of those, how are they going to stop them? And my fear is that it's going to end up like Secret Invasion, where they had built up this huge thing. Everyone's been invaded. There's this huge force, and they have these super Skrulls, and they're never going to beat them. And one shot from a rifle just ends the whole war. And I'm worried that this is going to end some way that, too. Loki's going to do something, and all of a sudden the Serpent's going to crumble, and everything's going to fall apart, and it's just going to be really neat and tidy and cleaned up and sudden in the last issue. Or even Siege, which had built up the Sentry as the Void, as this huge, ultra-powerful thing that none of them could have a chance to stop, except Thor hitting with his hammer, which never made sense because in a previous story arc by the exact same writer, he'd shown the Sentry being reduced to the molecular level by Molecule Man and rebuilding himself, yet Thor hitting him with a lightning bolt killed him. Just didn't get it, and was disappointed by it. So Marvel's events just seem to be set up to fail at this point, or disappoint.
This is where we've talked about, I know I've talked about it in previous podcasts and stuff. You know, the DC heroes, while not having that humanity side to them, they're really powerful and stuff. Marvel has a real problem writing powerful heroes. Anybody above street level, it's like the writers just don't get.
Yeah.
It feels like it might just be the rules of the universe. I mean, I'm going on basic knowledge here in 90s cartoons, but I mean, even with, like, Dark Phoenix, she was there for, like, 10 minutes, and then she was like, oh, I have to die now to save everyone else. And, of course, they bring her back, but every time she gets too powerful, they kill her again.
Mm-hmm.
In Grant Morrison's new X-Men, she started manifesting Phoenix again. I just reread that, actually. That's for later.
Okay.
She started manifesting Phoenix again, and all of a sudden, Magneto kills her, and she's gone again. I kind of agree with you on that. It feels like, and even Sentry, I thought Sentry was a cool character when I first heard about him, and I started reading the miniseries, and then it just seemed like something wasn't clicking about it.
He was so powerful they didn't know what to do with him.
Yeah.
I still remember the end of World War Hulk where they had to depower him to fight the Hulk, and it was one of those, what? And they were slap fighting both depowered. That's not the ending of that book I wanted.
Marvel has a tendency to not set like power levels for their guys. One writer has the guy that, he's completely unstoppable. The next writer, a bunny comes walking by and he falls over. It just doesn't make sense. There's no continuity in the character itself.
Or they set something up. I remember the Death of Wolverine story arc where they set it up so that he couldn't come back from the dead anymore. and his healing factor had been corrupted, and that would apparently then, you know, 6 issues later, he's burned to the skeleton, comes back. You know, just
he's regrown from a blood, just a drop of blood.
Yeah, and it's like just that. Really, come on. I remember reading long ago. It was probably in Comic Buyer's Guide where they did a little story on that they had fired their continuity guy. There was one guy who read every book, had him on file because this was before, you know, pre-computer really days. And the editor would come to them, hey, we want Johnny Storm to do this in this book. Well, no, he can't do that because this happened in this issue. This happened, so that would conflict, so you can't do that. And then I remember them when they fired him, you know, I didn't think anything of it, but they had this big story as they, you know, they got rid of this guy who is this wealth of knowledge. And clearly they need to hire that guy back, although he's probably dead by now. It was 20 years ago. But
that would be an awesome job.
Yeah.
Your job is to, like, sit there and read comics all day. I mean, I don't have the memory for it, but
it's just a crappy job.
Yeah, but he doesn't even have to take the risk, right? I mean, you have a risk in ordering and selling and running a business, whereas this guy just gets paid to sit in his office and knock on his door.
But I think that, you know, and that's been a problem. Like I was reading, they had a little preview for the next Daredevil book, and I just remember even at the end of Daredevil Reborn, going, "Well, how is this going to jive with him killing Bullseye on TV, and then you know becoming a demon and doing all this stuff?" And now he's just going to open the law firm up again, and, you know, here
he
was.
He saved the blind kid in New Mexico. I mean, he's got to be all right now.
Yeah, just, again, that's another thing. You know, they have this big event that made no sense, had an ending that was really, you know, Iron Fist punched him and he was all better. Okay, sure. You know, okay. The build-up failed again. Yeah, you sold me those back. Kevin just sold me back his.
Well, Iron Fist channeled his chi to
right, but is that the end? Everybody was, you know, not. I don't want to say the end should be what you expect, but God, I expected something a little bigger, a little better than that.
I think the biggest problem with Marvel miniseries is the tie-ins.
Well, like, yeah,
DC is keeping them entertaining, well done, relevant, whereas Marvel's are B-list writers for and artists for the most part.
Yeah.
And very little impact.
Yeah, and mostly it feels like a money grab.
Yeah.
Do we need another Homefront after the last, you know, they just, the first one in the front line, Civil War, was very good. The one in World War Hulk, not as good. And then just, it's one of those, well, we did it before, we're doing it again.
Like, Homefront's not even the one I have a problem with. Like, the Fearsome Four, like, do I really need to watch Howard the Duck chase Man-Thing around? Like?
Yeah, and Deadpool, and and I was talking with someone earlier today about the Spider-Man, is how can I feel that anything's going to happen in that book when his own book, he's got this Spider Island, which is going to start before this finishes up?
Well, and that's always another Marvel problem, right? They start pushing the next big thing,
yeah.
right? They're pushing Schism and Spider Island, and Fear itself is kind of taking a back seat to some extent. I mean, it's still important, but
I remember that specifically when World War Hulk was going on, and it was a month late. And everybody's kind of on the boards going, hey, Marvel, what's going on? And they're like, oh, but, yeah, whatever. Secret Invasion's coming. Have you heard about this? Oh, and it's like they made that big push for number one that they ramped up so much for that by the time number one's out, they're mentally onto the next thing. And they have too much stuff going on. We don't need Spider Island and Schism and Fear itself and all this happening at the same time. I kind of like that with DC. You have Flashpoint going on right now. And yes, you have War of the Green Lanterns, but that's just in the Green Lantern books, and it's not tying into everything else.
One more issue, right?
Right. And so it's just, it's just sometimes it's too much. Even with the X-Men, like you mentioned, Schism, which after reading Prelude to Schism number 3, you still don't know what's coming, but everybody's very afeared. And then I was just looking, I didn't even realize it, another retailer, James Simon in California, in San Francisco, posted the back of the Schism postcard that's been sitting on my counter that I didn't even bother to look at. And the only book it's tying into is Generation Hope.
Somehow.
Yeah, but it's not tying, it's Wolverine versus Cyclops, but it's not tying into Wolverine, it's not tying into Uncanny X-Men, they're canceling X-Men because of it, but the last issue is going to be a Fear Itself tie-in, you know, what? It just doesn't make sense, and it's one thing should be, that's one book that I'd want to tie in through all the big X-Men if it's as big as they're saying it's going to be, where it's not, whereas Fear Itself is tying through everything
and
crossing into every book.
I think that's something else DC does really well, is they have group editors, like their Mike Marks is the Bat Family editor, right? Marvel does the same thing. There's an X-Family editor, but I don't know what he's getting paid for. Because there's no consistency across all the books. And like you mentioned before, Wolverine. How many miniseries or series does Wolverine have, and which one do I care about? Right? Because in one episode, he's cutting hair in a bar.
Right.
One
but I can understand. Like, that one is a specific, the best of what he is. Is separate. That one's not the core one, but is, you know, Wolverine, was what happens in Wolverine what's happening to Wolverine,
right?
Or is what's happening in New Avengers what's happening to Wolverine, or Uncanny X-Men, or Schism, or da da da. You know, there's just, he's doing different things in different books, and none of it really quite jives. Well, I remember when he was in Hell in one book, he was doing this in one book. It's just confusing.
Same with Spider-Man at this point, right? He's in 3 team books, plus his own, plus the Fear Itself tie-in. And
Spider-Man.
Yeah,
but is Spider Island going to affect what happens to him in New Avengers, which is, you know...
Well, and so we got Avenging Spider-Man, right, which we can just skip that whole...
Yeah.
But the one solicit I saw that made me cringe was Spider Island Spider-Girl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do I really need that book?
Right.
Like, who is that targeting? Like, the two guys are fans of Arachnid or Arachne or whatever her name is?
Yeah,
and
that's already been canceled, so... Yeah, no, I agree. Let's see, that's not the one that made me... Oh, I posted the one to
yeah,
Sean. The one that made me cringe was Wolverine something, and the entire solicit was Wolverine smashes Japanese robots or something. And I'm like, seriously? Stop. You know, just stop putting out books for the sake of putting them out. That's where I'm getting frustrated with Marvel.
And this all sprang from the post about the polybagging.
Oh, yeah, they're polybagging the new Ultimate Spider-Man and Ultimate X-Men. Issue 1s are going to be polybagged. And I just made a comment, are they also going to come with 1 of 5 collectible cards?
Now,
and we can go right back to X-Force number 1.
Mr. DC sympathizer over
yes.
here. Justice League number 1 is going to be polybagged as well.
No, it's not. No. Only the ones that come with the... downloadable code for the digital copy
really?
Are going to come polybagged.
I
yes.
thought they said they were all polybagged.
No, just those. And that way you can't get the code without actually buying the book and opening it.
With a lot of times I go the opposite of Colin, just particularly because just of his DC
background. I don't have a bias.
But so I take the Marvel side
right.
of things. But to be honest with you, Marvel's doing nothing right now that really interests me either. Fear itself, to be honest, seems forced. Like they were, hey, we have a Thor and a Captain America movie this summer. Let's put an event together that has the features.
I think that's
two
exactly
of them,
what
and
they
that's,
did.
That's it.
Yeah.
It really has no reason for being there.
Well, and I think, like, a really bad analogy maybe is Marvel's kind of like going to the Golden Corral for dinner where, you know, there's just so much crap, you're bound to find something you like. Whereas DC's kind of more of an upper scale restaurant where, you know, they're not throwing as much crap at you.
I would have said that before the September relaunch, because now that's exactly what they seem like they're doing. Let's throw 52 number one issues out there and see what you like and what you don't.
But in the last month's solicits, they had 56 superhero books, so it's not like it's an outrageous number of books. It's four
but not
less.
All ongoings. There was only 38 ongoings.
Mm-hmm. But how many of these are ongoings, really? I mean, Mr. Terrific, is that really going to survive?
You never know.
You don't know. But the one thing I will say is it's pretty much, for the most part, 52 different, other than I think there were 12 Bat books. But I think the market can support 12 Bat books, other than Batwing. That's the only one that I look at and go, what? But I wasn't in on your Batman family conversation. But what I like about it is each one has a different... voice or a different purpose. Like you were wondering about Batman Inc. I said, if nothing else, here's a number one. I can get you the number one. You can try it, which was neat with that. Whereas trying to get somebody in, thanks, Sean.
Yeah.
Whereas trying to get somebody in with Batman or even with Detective, I was able to get him in at the beginning of Scott Snyder's run. So there are each one has a different voice, which I like. Where, you know, Deadpool, which, you know, okay, one's a team up, one's fighting Nazis, but it seems Marvel puts out a lot more. Similar books, or, you know, there's 4 Avengers books, and yeah, each one has a different voice, but
do they? And New Avengers really have a different voice?
No, it's got different characters. Well, kind of. Some of the same characters.
I mean, Wolverine. But it's still Bendis writing it. It's still
right.
the same voice. I mean, even if it's different characters, it's still Secret Avengers is different. Hopefully it stays different.
I don't know. I mean, that's starting to go through a writer carousel now.
Well, supposedly this was all planned, right? They were giving Warren Ellis time so he could have his 6 one-shots in the can before they published them. Okay. That, you know...
I mean, I believe that with Ellis, but... I mean, they made a big splash about Nick Spencer taking over for, what, 2 issues?
6.
It's not
you
really
said
6.
It was 12 through 18?
No.
Oh, I thought he was doing an arc.
No, because the new whatever's in the previews book is what, maybe 15? That's the first Ellis.
Okay.
So, I mean, he might come back onto it after Ellis is done, but it seemed odd. Oh, that big splash, Nick Spencer, and then I was looking through the book, and I'm like, wow, the only book he's doing Iron Man 2.0 and Spider Island Cloak and Dagger. Wow, that's a big exclusive signing. I'm giddy with excitement over that.
Well, I mean, Marvel also signed an exclusive colorist.
Well, yeah, it's big news. And they do have a lot more female colorists than DC does, so they win that race.
Well, I mean, while she's talented, right, do you really need an exclusive colorist? Like,
I mean, I don't know. I'm sure there's a reason for it. I'm not going to get into that argument. Okay, I think we beat that one to death. So the next thing I want to do is talk about your either favorite book, favorite graphic novel, either something new, something old, anything. Just think people might like to hear what we like. So, Ryan, you seemed ready for that. So,
I don't know if I call it my favorite. I didn't know your billion's favorite, but
something you've enjoyed recently.
Okay. Before X-Men First Class came out, I was thinking, okay, you know, I used to be a big X-Men fan more when I was a kid, and I want to read some more X-Men, something different. So I've always been a big Grant Morrison fan, so I figured, let's read his new X-Men run. Let's see how that goes. And I really liked it. I really liked the beginning of it. And I really liked the middle, and then at the end, I was really disappointed. I would still recommend the whole thing. I mean, you can't read the first two parts without reading the last part and, you know, not getting the ending of his story. I don't know if it was... I've read that there's editorial influence, and I've read that there was pressure on him to not change things too much. But I feel like by the end of it, it became very farcical. Like, he brought Magneto back, and instead of having Magneto be this very... intimidating figure like usual, he would just walk around barking orders at all these young mutants, and they were just like, who are you, grandpa? Get the hell out of the road, you know? I don't care. I'm not going to do what you say. I don't care about taking over New York City. And I like the mindset that he gave the younger mutants, but it just... he made Magneto seem completely useless.
Was that post-Genosha, or was that...
Yeah. Yeah, it was Magneto supposedly died at Genosha, but was actually Zorn the whole time.
Right.
Which that never really got explained, how he was able to do that, and...
I think there was a lot of editorial influence.
Yeah.
And I also know they changed most of that post. After he left, they changed a lot of it back.
Right.
And I read the first trade of that, and I read, I think, one of the later issues just because I wanted to see how Phoenix died, because I'm like, where did she die? Probably looked it up on Wikipedia and read the issue, and it was like an afterthought. It was just kind of...
Yeah. It wasn't even...
It wasn't big or dramatic. It was like she, you know, got stabbed and died.
Yeah.
You
know. Kind of an afterthought, but I guess some of the things that I like the most about it was this idea he plays with in the first arc of something bigger than mutants hunting mutants. You know, first we have the basic concept of humans don't like mutants because mutants are better, and now we get this idea that there's this evil alien force that might be Professor X's twin that realizes that mutants could be a threat, so its whole purpose in life is just to eliminate things that could be a threat to it. And I like that he didn't take it any more than that. It's not some, you know, intelligent alien race like the Shi'ar. It's just this thing, and that's what it's instinctually programmed to do.
That's one of the neat things about Morrison. Just you, when you're reading his stuff, you can kind of see that there's a big picture to this.
Right.
He's not just going... like I was reading Scott Lobdell did an interview about Teen Titans and saying he doesn't know exactly where it's going to go because he kind of likes to see where the characters take him. He likes to get the art back and go, oh, really like how you did that. I'm going to explore that a little more.
Right.
Where with Morrison, you definitely get the feel that he sees the big picture. He knows where this is going. Mm-hmm. And one of those come along with the ride. That's I still need to reread Final Crisis because... while it didn't make sense, I enjoyed the ride. I got to the end and I went, I don't know what happened, but I enjoyed it. And you could kind of tell he saw the big picture. It sounded, felt like it could have gone 3 more issues for him to explain it, but that's one thing I do like about Morrison. A lot of people don't like him.
I think you have to do everything with Morrison that way. I mean, all the Batman stuff, it's read the arc, kind of enjoy where you're going, and then reread it in one sitting so you know what happened. Like. Yeah.
It's incredibly different.
But it's not, it's not a bad thing. It's just a different thing.
Yeah. Even as X-Men, I think that's why I like the X-Men so much, is because a lot of the X-Men stuff that I had read before and most of my influence was from the 90s cartoon. It was, you know, it was it's good stuff. It's all based on like the 90s comics, but it wasn't as dense as I'm used to reading now, because now I'm, you know, reading Morrison every other day and, you know, all these other people that were inspired by him. So I'm used to that.
You just lose your mind.
Yeah, doing that. Oh, yeah, I okay. do frequently.
Okay. Sean, got anything you like read lately? I mean, just anything. I mean, you've been buying a lot of trades. Have you been reading?
Yeah, I have been buying a lot of trades. Unfortunately, I've not got to read a lot lately.
Okay.
You
don't have any pets?
Yeah, I really don't have anything okay. now that really stands out.
And, Adam, you're going to bring up the Gibbon issue of Spider-Man again.
Spider-Man? No. I am going to bring up Spider-Man. In fact, really, if anything that I've been reading, just because of Fear itself has been tying into everything besides Spider-Man, I really have been enjoying the stories until they got up to that issue with the Avengers Academy, and then it kind of just, I don't even know where I'm going from there.
Sadly, you're not alone.
Yeah.
I think my sales dropped by about a third on my Spider-Man books after because of that.
It seemed pointless. Yeah. And I hate to go back to the whole subject of, you know, what we were just talking about with Fear itself, but what it really sums it up is the structure. I just don't think anything is really just structured very well. You don't, you know, like Fear itself. The other books, like Avengers would be one of my favorite, is usually a pretty good favorite of mine, but I don't know where it's tying into the book, like when or where. And I think a lot of us, or at least me, I kind of like a linear storyline. I don't think this is really going in a linear storyline, at least I don't know if it is. So I think that's my problem with that, but if anything, it's been Spider-Man, because it hasn't tied in the Fear itself so
right.
much. And then the only other thing is FF, which I've kind of enjoyed. I don't really know exactly where it's going, because the story seems to be going on for a while since Fantastic Four, but I feel like it's getting somewhere now. So, and it's just kind of interesting. I don't really have much more to actually say than that. But
I think Hickman's very Morrison-like mm-hmm. in his
yeah.
big picture style of writing. I think Hickman... Yeah. You know, when he gets the FF deal, I bet you he had at least 18, 24 issues planned out in terms of story. I mean, his writing style is different, but the big picture, you know, he knew, like, Secret Warriors, he knew where he wanted to go, like, from day one, right? And I just think he's the same way with Morrison.
That's been good.
Plus,
yeah.
I think this comic of FF has been, like, a way to get away from the big event that's going on in Marvel, and, you know, sometimes you want that, because it's not even tying it at all, even the whole thing.
Did you ever notice Marvel events, if there's ever a Fantastic Four or Spider-Man story, they always have their own miniseries?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They'll always cross over to Avengers mm-hmm. and Iron Man, but they always leave FF.
Civil War back in the day went through both of those, but since then, yeah.
But for the most part, FF and Spidey, they leave alone, or they have their own miniseries.
They have their own thing, yeah.
So this is mature audience only, but from Image, the Blue Estate.
Bomb Queen. Oh, sorry.
The Blue Estate has been really, really good. It's Russian crime mob and sex scandals and drugs. And I mean, it's just, it's very.
No tranny hookers?
No tranny
okay.
hookers.
Okay, we know you like that.
Yeah. It's just very different. It's more gritty than a Vertigo book.
Okay.
I've really enjoyed it. It's and another one that I hated the first issue.
Oh, see, okay.
No, different book.
Okay.
Hated the first issue was Green Lake.
Okay.
Read it again, and then read 2 and 3. It's a good story. It's not, there's murders, but it's not about the murder. It's about why these people are in this town and what this town
mm-hmm.
does to people.
Okay. Yeah, I liked both those first ones. That one I liked. I'm a big fan of Riley Rossimo, who
right.
did the art. I haven't read beyond the first issue on either of those. I like both first
yeah.
issues, but...
And the fun book of the week has to be Buddy... Was it Butcher the...
Oh, Butcher Baker?
Butcher Baker, the Buddy Maker, or whatever.
The Righteous Maker.
The Righteous Maker. That book is
Man.
Hilarious.
Okay.
I mean, it is... I can't remember the name of it, but it is hilarious. It is... Did you read the new one?
No, I read the first one and kind of perused 2 and 3 and went, gah. I probably need to sit down and actually read them.
I mean, this guy's kind of like, if you think about how a superhero really would be, that if he was that famous.
Seems like the comedian
and,
is.
And that powerful, he would have, like, he would live the lifestyle. Like, I mean, and he just has, like, you know, he lives the lifestyle. And it's just awesome.
Besides anything Green Lantern coming out.
What?
yeah, besides that, like anything Green Lantern I read is great. I really enjoyed the DC Universe Online stuff.
Okay.
It's just, it's, you know, they don't gotta be, it's its own contained story, and it's, you see some stuff you never expect to see. You see, like, the Atom getting his arm blown off, or, you know, Batman's getting clearly crushed and having, like, a robotic arm, and just, it's, I don't know, it's just, I like the drawings and the story, they're pretty good.
Cool. For me, I took a little turn back. A little while back, I reread the complete run of Sandman. Just, it was something I hadn't read. I was going to my son's drum lesson, and I sit in the car for half an hour, and I didn't have anything to read with me. So I just, off the shelf, I grabbed the first volume of that and forgot how amazing it was. So the other day, I grabbed Books of Magic and took that home and reread it and forgot just how amazing that story is. And I actually grabbed two Neil Gaiman books from the library to take to the beach with me. You know, not comics, I know, but just with words, I'll be okay. But because I'd never read Nancy Boys and Fragile Things, and I figured a book of short stories might be real good to take. But just the depth that Gaiman can write is just amazing, and I'm probably just on a big Gaiman kick right now. Just a lot of fun. Just a book I really, really enjoy. But if you haven't read it, if you haven't read any of his stuff, trying to explain what it's about would be very confusing. Although, basically, it's pre-Harry Potter. It's a kid who they've determined is going to be the next great magic wielder on Earth, and they're trying to put him on the right track and see if he wants that's something he wants to do. And basically, he has to decide if he wants to learn magic or not. And it was really, really good. So, let's see, we're about an hour in. Okay, I think we can get through this last part pretty good. But my question to you guys is, what got you collecting? I know what specific book I came across that started me not reading comics. Cause I see people online saying, yeah, this was the first comic I ever read. And I'm like, dude, I was 7. You know, that was a long time ago. I couldn't tell you specifically. I know what got me reading and what got me collecting. So I'll start so you guys can gather your thoughts. But the big thing that got me starting reading comics was a good friend of my mom's moved away, and she had 2 teenage boys, and they left me a box of comics. And at the time, it felt like it was like a refrigerator box, but it most likely wasn't that big. But it was probably like 75% Casper, Richie Rich, Archie, that I read and read and read and gave to a girl because she was going on a summer trip and never got them back. But then probably the next 20% were DC, but like Neil Adams Batman, Neil Adams, he did some Superman. He probably didn't do the inside, but I know he did the covers. There was one where he had written his last will and testament and laid dying on the floor, and just covers that, you know, iconic covers you could really remember. And Legion of Superheroes, and just really cool stuff. And then probably the last 5% of that was Marvel's, and that's where I got introduced to Spider-Man. Probably I know issue 60 was one of them with Kingpin swinging him. And there was an Avengers, I think it was 36, it was the wedding cake, the wedding issue where the snakes are coming out of the cake, going after Janet Van, the Wasp. And just those just sucked me into wanting to read comics. And then I picked them up sporadically here and there. And then much later, I was up in Canada at my grandmother's. And a friend of mine, who we, you know, read comics and talked about, and he showed me Daredevil 181. And said, you have to read this book. And I'm like, okay, and I read it, and it's Death of Elektra, and I went, but who is she? Where did she come from? Who's this Bullseye? He's like, oh, well, let's see if they have the previous issues down at the comic book store. At which point, big light over my head, comic book store? What's that? So, and well, now I have my own. But that's what started everything, that one book, and realizing that you could go back and find out what happened before. Because before I had all these books, they were from the 60s and 70s, and you know, I read that, but it never dawned on me I could go and find the issue that came before. And so that was completely enlightening. That started me collecting at a really funny time. I remember holding onto my Arrak Son of Thunder number one for a very long time, knowing it was going to go up in value, which sadly it didn't. But so I basically started collecting in the early 80s, which made some of these announcements fun for me, like Fury of Firestorm. I'm really excited about that because that was one I got on with issue number one and collected for a long time until I went to college. So that's my story. Sugar Shane?
Yeah. Started watching, like, the Batman movie, like, the original one. started then, like, the TV show. Started all Batman. And then, like, high school, started reading some more, like, going, find whatever I can find, I'd read it. And then I moved away. I started getting real bored, so I started either like going to, like the bookstore Borders, buying trades, and just getting into the characters on all DC. And then I moved back to the area, and I just started picking up Blackest Night, and just like that. Ever since then, I went.
So
from,
it sucked you in recently.
Yeah, instead of just getting trades every getting trades like once every couple of weeks, I'm coming in now. I was putting like $90 a week. On just, you get introduced to a character, I'm like, oh, Bishop Gold is pretty good. And then I've read like all like 48 of them or something. I just keep adding.
And you bought all the original issues as well.
Right. Yeah. And I just continue to all the characters are pretty cool. Let's go see what else I can get. And then I just started like I got all the Batgirls recently. I just go down, I'll just buy a whole series at once and then just continue on. And next thing you know, I'm buying like 50 things a week.
That's horrible. I'm sorry. What do you have, Ryan?
Mixture of cartoons and toys. The earliest thing I can remember watching superhero-wise was the old Superpowers cartoon that I'd rented from like a tape club or something, and it was just Batman and Robin Superpowers, and it was like five or six episodes of them just fighting like Joker and Riddler and Penguin and everybody you could think of, and I watched that tape until it broke in my VCR. Then the Batman cartoons and the 90s X-Men cartoons, and I sort of, my hobby leaned more towards action figures for the longest time. I collected action figures like mad. And then I was doing the Marvel Legends figures, and they started including comic books with the pack-ins. And I started reading some of those old stories, I thought, well, this is really interesting, maybe I should read the stories too, because I like that. And I'd always liked the characters, but I'd always stuck to cartoons and movies. So I actually jumped on with Ultimate Marvel.
Okay.
When that started.
Okay.
Yeah, and I was really into Ultimate Spider-Man, Ultimate X-Men, Ultimates, and that sort of thing. I'd buy the trades on those.
Now you can get Ultimates. It'll be out
right
in
now,
September.
Yeah.
Very excited about
and,
that.
And actually, the Hickman stuff that Namastok came out, and that sort of makes me interested in Ultimate again. But after that, I sort of, I don't know why, I fell out of Marvel and went back to DC, and it's just been DC ever since. I started on graphic novels and collected editions with DC, and then a couple buddies of mine at college, there was a comic book shop the next town over, and they're like, hey, we're going to comic book store, you should come with us. And I thought, okay, and my one friend had been there forever, and he always had a pull box, and I was like, you mean you can ask them to hold single issues for you? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, oh my god. So that's how I got started on that. It's just been a landslide ever since.
Cool. Sean?
Honestly, my aunt used to buy me, she'd go to a bunch of yard sales and stuff. She was always big into yard selling, and would buy big bags of comics for, a whole bag for $3 or something. And to be perfectly honest, half of them I probably never even looked at. But I remember she bought me a bag of comics one time, and I started going through it and came across an Incredible Hulk issue. Started reading it. It was Incredible Hulk 181, first appearance of Wolverine.
Oh, sure.
And just, I liked the issue, wanted, especially Wolverine. I've always been a Wolverine fan, so I started looking at that. Then over at IUP campus, there was a little bookstore over there called Patty's Paperbacks. And we'd go to Indiana about once a month, and we stopped there, and I'd go in, buy the new X-Men books, and read ever since.
Cool.
I feel like we're in an addiction.
Well, that's why you laughed when I said we were calling this PCP, and I said, well, and you said, really? And I'm like, well, yeah, because my wife, she's a therapist, and she mentioned one day, she's like, man, these people, you need to get them help. I'm like, honey, no, that pays the mortgage. I need this addiction. I need to be their pusher and make them come in to get their stuff.
Push us with the buttons.
So my name's Adam. I've been sober for...
No, I haven't. Oh,
okay, fair enough.
Bought way more than I probably should have.
No! Don't ever say that or think that.
Oh, okay.
You bought just the right amount.
Well, I get these pens with them.
Yeah, you do? See?
It's all just... Okay.
Start making up my own pens.
So. I don't want... Last time, somebody already tried to give me handmade stuff at a store. So, I actually... when I was a kid, I was big on the cartoons as well, X-Men, Spider-Man, and Batman that were out in the 90s. And once in a while as a kid, I would get, comics just here or there. But I really got into it in my junior year of high school. This was during, I think this was right after, like a year after the first Spider-Man movie came out. And I just got kind of interested in maybe reading Spider-Man, but I didn't really know what I was, you know, jumping into, what book to get. But I found I went with them to somewhere in Ohio one time. We stopped at a mall on our way back. And at the bookstore, they had Ultimate Spider-Man. And I really got into Ultimate Spider-Man from the... Now I'm not so much into it since whatever they've...
There's literally number one coming. We'll get you back to
it. Literally tried to kill it out, but I don't know. It feels like if I start, it's just going to... They're going to end it. You know, kill
okay.
everybody
it's
off.
It's okay
again.
To start. It's okay.
I might. Wait, he's doing it again.
It's polybag. It's polybag. It's got to be special.
Oh, yeah.
Might be foil cover underneath that polybag.
Might be.
Hologram.
There might be another polybag.
Absolutely. Don't open it, though. Sorry.
All we need is another polybag. But yeah, and then I've just been reading since then. I just started getting one after the other. It does seem like an addiction when I think about it.
It's a happy addiction.
Me?
I mean, I just want to add one little thing. It's funny, Adam reminded me when he said in high school, is the Daredevil 181 for me in high school, we must have not been able to get the issues because I remember I bought them from a kid in high school. I think it was freshman year in high school. And I'd buy the Miller Daredevils from him with my lunch money. Apparently it didn't affect me too much. I recovered. But I remember, you know, saving my lunch money to give them to Scott Dahlberg. If you're out there, you're probably not out there. But... bought those from in high school. Okay, go Matt, sorry. Well, I know how you got started back. But.
How I got started back, yeah. So when I started as a kid, collected all the G.I. Joe toys and got the G.I. Joe comic book from Marvel, which led to Captain America and Iron Man and all those other things. I stopped reading probably when I was 12 or 13. Whenever G.I. Joe ended, that was the last, you know. I moved back to the South Hills again, was taking my dog to the vet, and saw this sign for, you know, comic store that happened to be Collins Store, and said, you know, I've been hearing about this Marvel Civil War thing online. I really should read that.
I'm a bad man.
I come in, and Collins generous and nice enough to help me out and figure out what I need. And
that's how he gets you.
Yeah, exactly. $350 of trade paperbacks. Back the next week, buying another $300 of trade paperbacks.
I remember turning to my help, Quinn, and going, boy, I hope he comes back. Now I can't get him to leave.
Yeah. And, you know, after that, I came in and was like, all right, I need to get these issues, and can you set up a poll? And it's been really downhill ever since.
You lost that bedroom, now. Sorry.
Yeah, I do have a room dedicated to statues and comic books. And, yeah. Statues is a bad addiction, guys. Don't do it.
No, it's good. It's good. Good. Gatorade Bill's over there, Sean.
I know.
You're not looking.
I keep hoping somebody will buy it one of these times.
Oh, don't worry. Okay, well, I think that's about all we got for today. I won't be here next week because I'm going to be on the beach. But Matt said he's gonna fire one up, so you guys are all come back. I hope this was good. This was Pittsburgh Comic Podcast, PCP number 6. Signing out. Thanks. One day.